Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Great Monday morning. Welcome to Christian Worldview, this 11th day of July, 2005. Glad you joined us today. Greenville and Spartanburg Airport has 73 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 74 degrees. Andersons and Clemson both checking in with 75 degrees. Widespread showers and thunderstorms this morning. Then numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s and east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. So not too bad a day today, believe it or not, except for all the thunderstorms. Hopefully we won't have any tornadoes. Nothing on the horizon for that. Last week we had a tornado warning, and the thing apparently actually touched down not too far away from Simpsonville and then went down to about 7 miles south of Greer. Always memorable events for us Southern Californians who are only used to these little things called earthquakes. A tornado, nothing like that, I'll tell you. Anyway, nothing on the horizon for you today. You just a little bit of wet weather, it sounds like. Have a number of good stories on the call today. Rents.com actually has something very intriguing to read, but as my producer and I were just talking about, nothing really to back it up with facts. And the title of the story is Tony Blair Ordered the London Bombings, former MI6 operative. The mainstream media ignores vital evidence of an inside job. This is a commentary by Michael James in Frankfurt, Germany, yesterday. Rested after a good night's sleep in the Glen Eagles Hotel, Tony Blair glanced nervously at his watch and wondered if the bombing of the London transport system would take place on schedule. London's Chief of Police, Sir Ian Blair, and MI5 boss, Eliza Manningham Buller, had promised to keep him firmly in the loop, and Jack Straw had advised him that Israelis had been placated. Blair caught a glimpse of himself in the dresser and checked his profile. He continues on with this story. They talk about how Blair knew the whole thing was going on. Well, obviously, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's quite long. Well, what do you think about this? Did Blair actually plant the bombs there? What evidence do you have? This guy really doesn't give us any hard evidence, just a good story. Well, anybody can make a good story. We want to know if this is actually the truth. There's some evidence people have to show that George W. Bush, or at least somebody behind George W. Bush, knew something about the 9/11 bombings, that the attacks were part of an inside job. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest this. It doesn't mean it's necessarily true, I realize, but I just say there's evidence at least. Well, what is the evidence behind Tony Blair doing the London bombing, or anybody behind Tony Blair? If you have a question or a comment about that or have some insight, we'd love to hear from you. You can listen or you can give us a call at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Backup line is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You may also send your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net, and we'll be glad to discuss that with you right on the air. Well, interesting thought. Don't know what to think about that, actually. Also had an email from a listener yesterday, or actually this might have come in on Friday. Charles wrote an email, and he said, John, is Billy Graham a Christian in Christ? Charles. Okay. Well, since I try to answer all questions that come in, I can just say to him, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, Charles, Billy Graham supporting the Clintons like he seems to, or giving these little indirect or even direct kudos to the Clintons, makes me have some doubt. Even more than that, though, is his endorsement of the Pope and liberal theologians. So people aren't even saved. They don't even confess the fundamental doctrines of the faith. So when those guys are his friends, and Billy Graham isn't known for being a hardcore gospel preacher, I have some doubts about something at least to do with his character, and it may reflect something deeper, unfortunately. I don't know a man's heart, and I don't to sit back and cast judgment on folks and in general, unless they're just really way out there and clearly not saved. Billy Graham, I don't know the answer to your question. If you have a comment and you want to discuss it further, before the one I said, by all means, give us a call. Again, 864-244-8177 or 201-6955. Also have an article came up on LouRockwell.com today. This is also yesterday, by Jacob Hornberger, Jacob C. Hornberger. He says, terrorism comes with empire. Why do we have terrorism around the world? This is an interesting perspective. Why do we have the problems with bombings and so forth, assuming terrorists are behind these things in London or America? Well, he tries to answer that for us in a short article. Let's take a look at what he says. Question, why didn't the terrorists strike Switzerland instead of England? After all, the two countries share the same freedoms and values, don't they? Answer, the Swiss government didn't attack Iraq. It doesn't meddle in the Middle East. It didn't participate in the brutal sanctions against the Iraqi people. It doesn't maintain an empire or overseas bases. It doesn't go abroad in search of monsters to destroy. The Swiss government minds its own business. That's why terrorists did not strike Switzerland. Of course, the same cannot be said of England, whose foreign policy in the Middle East can be summed up as follows. Whatever the U.S. government does, the British government supports and joins. Thus, the British government participated in President Bush's recent war in Iraq, a war against a sovereign and independent country that never attacked the United States or England, or even threatened to do so. It is a war that has produced the deaths of tens of thousands of innocent people, not just American and British soldiers, but also Iraqi soldiers and civilians, none of whom had anything to do with the 9/11 terrorist strikes in the United States. That's why the terrorists struck London instead of Bern. That's also why the terrorists struck in New York both in 1993 and 2001 and at the Pentagon. The terrorist retaliations are rooted in anger and hatred, not for American and English freedom and values, as President Bush and Prime Minister Blair maintain, but instead in anger and hatred for U.S. and British foreign policy. Why would it be otherwise? Why should foreigners, especially radical, violent ones, react any differently to the killings and maimings of their family, friends, and countrymen than Westerners do when their families, friends, and countrymen are killed or maimed by foreigners? Consider the torture, rape, sex abuse, and murder scandal at the Abu Ghraib, prison in Iraq. Why won't the Middle Easterners react in such in much the same way that Americans would react if American men were treated in a similar manner to in some foreign prison? What will be the response of government officials to the terrorist strikes in England or in London? You guessed it, more severe government crackdowns on civil liberties to protect us from the terrorists, which not surprisingly was the same position they were taking before the terrorist strikes in London. Americans must make a choice between freedom and peace on the one hand and the continuation of the U.S. Military empire on the other hand. They cannot have freedom and peace in the empire. They must choose which is more important to them. If people choose to continue the empire and the diplomatic and military glory that comes with being the world's sole remaining empire, then they must resolve themselves to the fact that their lives and freedom will be under potential assault by both terrorists and government officials. For those who want to live lives of freedom, normality, peace, prosperity, and harmony, there is but one solution. Dismantle the empire. Bring the troops home and discharge them into the private sector. Stop meddling in the affairs of other nations. Stop trying to dominate and control the world. Stop going abroad to search for monsters to destroy. Stop trying to be the world's policeman. And Jacob Hornberger is founder and president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, more or less a libertarian youth organization that is helpful in many college campus works. And all I can say is I really like what Hornberger just said. I think he's absolutely right. Do you disagree? Give us a call, 864-244-8177. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up against a quick break, I believe, here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net.
Is it?
Yeah. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. finally a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're looking at all these bombings and terrorist articles this morning. It is interesting to consider some of these things, that's for sure. Here's another article from the Washington Times, Paul Martin, saying, "Muslim Council condemns evil deeds in Britain." London, the Muslim leaders in the Britain yesterday were swift to condemn a series of deadly bomb blasts in London and appealed to Britons not to single out their community for reprisals. Other Muslim groups dismissed the establishment Islamic representatives as hardline fringe. During recent years have expressed public support for Al-Qaeda, but have avoided giving open backing to terrorists against Britain itself. Well, this is an interesting question. What about the Muslims? Are they all... Yeah, we paint them all with the same brush. They all just want to come around and attack and kill us in general. Is this what they are? I tend to believe that their religious fervor is about the same as American religious fervor. You have some true hardcore right-wingers. That makes some sense, doesn't it? That really would do things like this and follow the Islamic Jihad. And then you've got a whole host of them which refuse to do so. That are just like the United Methodists of the world or the liberal Episcopalians of the world. They go to church, they have some sort of affiliation with the religion, but in general they don't follow its principles in terms of true orthodoxy. It's probably the majority of Muslims out there, I would suspect, although I may be wrong about that. But what do you think? Are Muslims to be painted with a broad brush here? Are we supposed to think they're all terrorists and they're all potential cell members that would attack the United States or can engage in some kind of terror? Interesting question, but again, my thinking is probably not. We also have some other people claiming that there might be some bombings in Britain that could be attributable to Tony Blair. I was looking for an email. I know I've just been it was just sent. Let's see if I can find it now. It hasn't showed up. We may have to come back to this one yet. Let's move on to another theme here while we're thinking about this. Let me see if I can find this here. Got it. Sorry for that hitch and delay there, folks. Lest we forget, these were Blair's bombs, says John Pilger. I don't know. In all the coverage of last week's bombing in London, he says, "A basic truth is struggling to be heard. It is this. No one doubts the atrocious inhumanity of those who planted the bombs, but no one should also doubt that this has been coming since the day Tony Blair joined George Bush in their bloody invasion and occupation of Iraq. They are Blair's bombs, and he ought to be allowed to evade culpability and yet another unctuous speech about our way of life, which has its own rapacious violence in other countries he has despoiled. Indeed, the only reliable warning from British intelligence in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq was that which predicted the sharp increase in terrorism, with Britain and Britons a target. A House of Commons committee has since verified this warning. Had Blair heeded it instead of conspiring to deceive the nation that Iraq offered a threat to the Londoners who died on Thursday, might be alive today, along with tens of thousands of innocent Iraqis. 3 weeks ago, a classified CIA report revealed that the Anglo-American invasion of Iraq had turned that country into a focal point of terrorism. Not all the intelligence agencies regarded Iraq as such a flashpoint before the invasion. However, tyrannical the regime. On the contrary, in 2003, the CIA reported that Iraq exported no terrorist threat to its neighbors and that Saddam Hussein was implacably hostile to al-Qaeda. Blair's and Bush's invasion have changed all that. In invading a stricken and defenseless country at the heart of the Islamic and Arab world, their adventure became a self-fulfilling. Blair's epic responsibility has brought the daily horrors of Iraq home to Britain. For more than a year, he has urged the British to move on from Iraq, and last week it seemed that his spinmeisters and good fortune had joined hands. The awarding of the 2012 Olympics to London created the fleeting illusion that all was well, regardless of messy events in a faraway country. Okay, well, what do we think about this? It makes some sense to me. John Pilger seems like he may well be right. He's born and educated in Sydney, Australia. He's never been a war correspondent. Oh, he has been a war correspondent, filmmaker, and playwright. Based in London, he has written from many countries and has twice won British journalism's highest award, that of Journalist of the Year, for his work in Vietnam and Cambodia. His new book, Tell Me No Lies, Investigated Journalism and Its Triumphs, is published by Jonathan Cape next month. This article was first published in the New Statesman. So he's not even one that's normally inside our club, if I can call it that. And yet he's making this harsh criticism about the war, for good reason, for the war in Iraq. Well, we don't like the war in Iraq. We don't like George Bush's imperialist foreign policy. We think it's very unconstitutional. In fact, did Congress ever really declare war against Iraq? Well, in some sense, I suppose. But in reality, we do not have the administration running the way that the Founding Fathers envisioned it to be run. We have an imperialistic state that goes about the globe, invading other countries and taking over as it wishes. This is true in general about our state and about most imperialist states in history. But I think the point is right, from that Hornberger said earlier. If we want to have freedom and liberty, we want it lastingly in our country, we need to become those who don't, or who simply leave other people alone and not meddle in the affairs of other people elsewhere. And we can only expect chaos here instead of freedom and mayhem as people retaliate from being bombed and butchered by the tens of thousands in foreign lands. Are we really spreading democracy into Iraq? Remember what the Bill of Rights of the Iraqi people says. We read this for an hour on Friday's show, so I won't do it again, but I still have it in my hot hand here. The Iraqi Bill of Rights is very clear. They are for social justice, socialized medicine for kids, and actually for everybody, especially those who are pregnant. Public education for all. They have guaranteed employment, welfare of all sorts of, and all sorts of varieties, abridgment of rights, housing rights. We have feminism. We have gun restrictions. We have pro-environmental policies, environmentalist wacko policies, I should say. We have supports for the arts and the science from the federal government. We have common ownership of national resources. We have state promotion of virtue and morals. We have all their freedoms being abridged, and just as the Patriot Act does so here, and on steroids, even more so. You have in Iraq total chaos, Marxism being spread by this war and by this regime under George W. Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Tony Blair. It is not liberty that they're spreading, folks. They're spreading tyranny. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we have a caller on the line. Just hold on for a second, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, talking about some interesting stuff. Just had a caller during the break named Bill calling from Seneca. Was disappointed that he wasn't able to get the signal over there, and we understand the disappointment. We have been a little frustrated ourselves trying to get out to Anderson and Pickens County. We're working on it, however, and from what I was told over the weekend, it's, you know, with the volunteer staff and all, maybe a couple weeks before they get anything up in Pickens County, maybe longer than that. I've seen a couple weeks of TRN sometimes get stretched for various reasons to a month or so. So be patient. It's coming, and in the long history of things, looking back, it won't seem like such a long period of time, even though there's a lot of folks who'd like to listen right now over in that area. They're working on it, is all I can tell you. We do appreciate the call from Bill this morning. He wanted to talk about my latest article series in the Times Examiner, which is also available on the policyofliberty.net website. It has to do with guns, Second Amendment, and when we can use assassination as a means of the most effective Christian means of getting rid of evil rulers, such as Ehud did to Eglon in the Old Testament period. This is even pre the theocracy, so it seems like it'd be applicable to more than just a theocracy, and it would and nobody, I should say, would really have a problem with it, unless you're going to say Ehud was in sin. And it certainly doesn't look like, from what the scriptural record indicates, that Ehud was in sin for slaying Eglon, the wicked ruler. So anyway, this article this month, or this week in the Times Examiner, is the last of a third-part series on the Second Amendment, and we'd encourage you to get a copy of the Times Examiner. If you can, go to 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville and pick up your copy. You can also call 268-0576 and order a subscription, $25 in-state, $27 out-of-state, and they'll mail it directly to your home. That's 268-0576. By all means, pick up a copy of the Times Examiner. Keep current on these great issues. Also look forward in coming weeks to my article series, the next 3 weeks, on rights, just war, and Christian public policy theology. And we hope you'll enjoy those. And by all means, call the show if you want to discuss some of those articles. Let's shift gears here a little bit. We've talked about terrorism and so forth, and Jeb Bush's insane foreign policy for the first part of the show. Let's also talk about a couple of other items. One is by Greg Perry. You don't pay twice to homeschool your children, he says. Marshall Fritz, the brilliant founder of the separation of school and state, makes it clear when you homeschool, you don't pay twice for your children's education. You only pay one time, not two. Many public school math teachers will be confused there already. Therefore, I will go slowly for those who teach math in the public schools. One is less than two. The government school tyranny. The public school system was created for the state, by the state. Whether or not one chooses to homeschool, one still must pay taxes to put others in godless, broken education system. We might as well call it what it is, however, and public school tyranny funded by your family's taxes. But ask yourself what those taxes fund. Do they fund your child's education if you make the grave mistake and sin of sending your little ones into Satan's synagogues known as the public schools? wow, this guy is just as hardcore as the tyranny response. Can you believe what he just said, folks? He said, you make the grave mistake and sin by sending your little ones into Satan's synagogues, also known as the public schools. Have you ever heard that before, folks? I think you have many times. Yes, the pagan, I like the phrase Bruce Short uses, actually, the pagan seminary. That just sounds so nice, so nifty, and so true. The pagan seminary, that's what the government school is. Continue on. No, your child does not get an education. Indoctrination is not an education. Your child gets indoctrinated by your tax dollars, and the tax dollars are your neighbors, who also have to pay for your child's indoctrination. But your child does not get an education. People often blame the government, and they should, and the school administration, and they should, for the bad education in this country. But those same people will defend teachers, saying, there is some good teacher, there are some good teachers. I may suggest that the only good teachers are those teachers who warn parents every day to pull their children from the public schools. All the rest can care more for their paycheck than they care about warning the parents to rescue the children. It's that simple. Those same people would never defend evil prison camps, saying, well, there are some good prison guards. Not that I'm comparing the public schools with prison camps, because I wouldn't want to disparage prison camps. I gotta like this guy. What's this guy's name again? Greg Perry. Okay. Kudos to Greg Perry to get. Yes, that's right. We don't want to compare public schools with prison camps because we don't want to disparage prison camps. Don't close the schools tomorrow. Close them today. The system is corrupt and cannot be fixed. The system cannot be reformed. Institutions do not repent. The schools must go. But wait, you say. What are you saying, you ask? I realize that if we close the government school system tonight, the following would take place. First, children would be far less likely to learn how many early earrings fit in their left nostrils. Second, children would be unable to experience the joy of being inspected by school teachers, administrators, and nurses who are latent pedophiles. You read in the news almost every day of a public school teacher or administrator who molests a child, but it's such common news that it's often buried on page 13C. Third, if we close the government school system, the children could not learn the importance of an open mind toward homosexual experimentation. Fourth, if we close the government school system tonight, then kids would not learn truth is only relative, that whatever is good for you is right so long as you have self-esteem. The two Columbine murderers had lots of self-esteem. The school system really taught them well. Fifth, if we close the government school tonight, I realize that teachers could no longer blame parents for bad children. The late 60s and 70s began the modern liberal thought in America's government schools, and teachers who blame the parents, teachers always blame the parents, are speechless when you ask, well, who taught the parents? Ask them, you'll see. Teachers really hate that question if they're blame the parents for all their ills. Seventh, children would no longer believe that lie that evolved from slime, they evolved from the slime, if we close the public school tonight. And without that important public school education, they begin to see that life has more meaning than their teachers used to make them believe. And finally, if we close the public schools tonight, how in the world would the children learn that you can have sex with anything you want so long as condoms involved somewhere along the way? How much of your income goes to your local school district? We paid almost $5,000 in property taxes per year to one school district before we moved to an acreage to get away from as much municipal tyranny as possible. On top of that, how much of your taxes goes to schools directly or indirectly? How much towards the Department of Education's programs, failed programs such as DARE, that have been proved to cause more drug use among school children? How much of your time is spent wasted waiting in traffic behind stopped school buses? I mean, children jails each day. I ask you this, if you attend a church, does the total percentage of money you spend on the government school system equal or surpass your church tithe? Why do you tithe your and your other people's children to the state 6 hours each day? No one has the moral right to force someone else to help pay for a child's education. Why is stealing okay when it's done by the government? When the Nazis murdered the Jews, it was not okay just because the government did it. And when government steals money from us to pay for education, it is not okay. Four words a public school teacher does not understand, thou shalt not steal. Government schools, children, dads, teach their young ones to not steal and then put them on the yellow school bus each morning, paid for by the neighbors all around them. The child learns stealing is not okay unless it's done by government decree. They also learn dad is an idiot. And they shouldn't learn it that way, teachers. And every sitcom on TV makes sure children learn dad's an idiot anyway. All right, well, this article is fabulous. We're come up to the top of the hour break here. And I'll just simply close up with what he says here. Public schools are the enemy. Public school teachers are the enemy. Public school officials are the enemy. Don't waste your time fighting to get prayers back in schools. That's doing nothing more than rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as the Titanic sinks. Instead of working to put prayer back into schools, you should work to rescue children out of the entire government school system. Greg Perry is a recovering public school victim, may have been born with one leg and a total of three fingers, but don't call him disabled. He prefers the term handicapped because the ADA advocates hate that term. You might wonder how that applies to him, because Perry is the most prolific computer book and author in the world. He had just finished his 75th computer book published internationally. He recently fulfilled his long-standing promise to expose the Americans with Disability Act by writing the book Disabling America, The Unintended Consequences of Government's Protection of the Handicapped. Thank you, Greg Perry, for that great encouraging word today. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy,
MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently, Greenville, Spartanburg has about 75 degrees, 76 degrees in Anderson, 75 in Clemson. Today, there should be widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms this morning, then numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. So rather wintry, a summery day here in the upstate of South Carolina. Probably coming through the outer bands of what was left of Hurricane Dennis, I suppose. If you're making your way out to work, just be prepared for a little bit of wet weather today. Well, we've been talking about lots of interesting things, as usual, on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We had an email come in over the break from Paul, who sent us an article from Devi Kidd. London Underground bombing exercises took place the same time as the real attack. Sound familiar? It should if you read the Crossing Rubicon on 9/11. London Underground bombing exercises took place the same time as the attack. Culpability cover scenario echoes 9/11 war games. Paul Joseph Watson and Alex Jones, Prison Planet, wrote this. Well, we know about Alex Jones. He was on our show for a while back. A consultancy agency with government and police connections was running an exercise for an unnamed company that revolved around the London Underground being bombed at the exact same times and locations as happened in real life on the morning of July 7th. On a BBC Radio 5 interview that aired on the evening of the 7th, the host interviewed Peter Power, managing director of Visor Consultants, which bills itself as a crisis management advice company, better known to you and I as a PR firm. Peter Power was a former Scotland Yard official working at one time with the anti-terrorist branch. Power told the host that the exact time that the London bombings were taking place, his company was running a 1,000-person-strong exercise which drilled the London Underground being bombed at the same exact locations, at the same exact times as happened in real life. The transcript happens as follows, and we won't read the whole transcript, but essentially what this guy is saying is, look, just like with 9/11, we had this thing going on as a military exercise, you know, kind of a fake deal, and then all of a sudden the real bombs blew up. The same thing was said about the jets being scrambled, the fighters not being scrambled to intercept the jets because it was considered to be an exercise that turned into a reality. Well, here's another article as well from the Financial Times in London. Blair rejects calls for probes into the bombings. Tony Blair will on Monday reject conservative demands for a government inquiry into last week's London bomb attacks, insisting such a move would distract from the task of catching the perpetrators. Why? As police and security would like the people that investigate crime scenes like be using their time otherwise to go and catch the terrorists or something? That seems real doubtful, especially in unionized England where it's not my job must be real common. I can't imagine detectives wanting to go out and write traffic tickets tomorrow just because they're twiddling their thumbs and nothing better to do, or stop investigating crime scenes instead of going looking for terrorists. Anyway, as police and security services continued searching for the bombers thought to be Islamist terrorists, Downing Street said the Prime Minister believed an inquiry now into the outrage which killed at least 49 people would be a ludicrous diversion. Instead, in a statement to the Commons on Monday following last week's Coup of Eight Summit, a Group of Eight Summit, I guess same thing, Group of Eight, Coup of Eight, Mr. Blair is expected to focus on the direction the government must take to ensure future terrorism is defeated. In particular, the Prime Minister believes there must be a far greater cooperation among European Union governments and in the fight against terrorism, a view Charles Clark, the Home Secretary, is expected to drive home at an emergency meeting of EU Interior Ministers this week. He's expected to tell his counterparts governments must ensure operations to keep data and telephone and internet exchanges up for a year. He also indicated on Sunday that he would consider granting further controls if he thought they were necessary. Mr. Clark said he was very optimistic indeed that last Thursday's bombers would be tracked down, but he feared further attacks could take place until that happened. That is why the number one priority has to be the catching of the perpetrators. Police continue to sift through the debris from London or Thursday's four explosions, three in London underground and one on a bus, and to examine witness accounts and intelligence as part of their hunt for the bombers. But police use indicates they had yet to establish and identify the whereabouts of the terrorists they expected belonged to an extremist Islamist cell in sympathy with the aims of Al-Qaeda. Lots of news and stories about this kind of thing going on today having to do with the London bombings. What do we think about this? Was it really an inside job? Well, Alex Jones says so. Tony Blair seems to fuel the fire for that by saying it's not important to investigate it. He's already told us, after all, who did it. We don't have to bother, you know, doing our own investigation and doubt Tony Blair. Why would we ever doubt Tony Blair? We've got Jacob Hornberger and others saying, what do we expect if we're going to go and mess in a foreign country? Then we'd have this kind of terrorist assault on us. Are they right? Are they truly terrorists that are coming over with Islamic radicals? Some Islamics don't want, as we read earlier, to be painted with such a wide brush to be included in this group of extremists. And if indeed it was an outside job. So lots of interesting controversy here today. If you'd like to call on the show, do so at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177, or our backup line, 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we've come up to a quick break time again, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And welcome back to Christian Worldview. Lots of talk today about terrorism, the terror strikes in London, pro and con. I'd like to hear from you. Phone calls are welcome once again. Backup line 201-6955. That's 201-6955 in the 864 area code. You can also try 864-244-8177, our main line. London, says Eric Margolis, as we sowed, so do we reap. This is actually published in the Toronto Sun .com paper. He says the following: "The purpose of terrorism is just that. It is to terrorize people, and we will not be terrorized. So declared a somber, determined Prime Minister Tony Blair on Thursday after the worst bombings in London's recent history. Blair spoke for all Britons in the crowds milling about central London right after the four bombings. I saw people who were dazed, confused, and edgy, but no fear or public mass panic, or fear of mass panic. Britons rise to their full measure in adversity, and so they did in spades on 7/7, the smaller version of the America's 9/11. London's emergency service functioned brilliantly. There were none of the chaos or jingoism we saw after 9/11 in New York. Britons uniformly exhibited stiff upper lips, coolness, and manners for which they are deservedly respected. I was very proud of them. The bombings paralyzed London. I guess they're just good status. They have good confidence in their state, and they're falling right into line, do whatever the state tells them. The bombing paralyzed London for morning rush hour, but in the afternoon, the city's trademark red biz buses were again careening around corners, and even subway service partly resumed. There were no witch hunts against London's Muslims, 10% of the great city's population. A senior British official declared there's no reason why the words Islamic and terrorist should go together, even though Blair had just used them. The cop is right. The terrorists who struck London on 7/7 may have been Mideast Muslims, but their primary goal was political, not religious. Britain's most outspoken controversial MP, George Galloway, ignored the outpouring of platitudes from British and G8 politicians and hit the nail on the head. Londoners paid the price for Tony Blair's decision to go to war in Iraq and Afghanistan. A hitherto unknown group called European Al-Qaeda affirmed that transit attacks were indeed a revenge for Britain's invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. You can't expect to invade other nations without getting some return fire. Well, this is what Jacob Hornberger just said, and now we're hearing the same thing from this fellow Eric Margolis at thetorontosun.com. Interesting point of view, as well as it came right down from Christian Libertarians. Brian Morton sent that out. Appreciate that group and their work and their efforts. All right, well, what do we think about all these things, folks? Well, I would not be surprised if Tony Blair were behind the bombings. If there were some evidence that came up to show that this was the case, it wouldn't be a surprise to me, because governments are the greatest perpetuators of evil, I should say states are, in the history of the world, and states are the greatest beneficiaries of this kind of action. They get more power, they get more budget, they get people more willing to pay taxes. They have a purpose to exist, so people won't kick them out of office. Why do we need government, after all, if there is no need for common defense? But in a sinful world, there is a need for common defense, and so we need government. But states, on the other hand, have a very hard time justifying their existence, their proactive nature of their foreign policy, the proactive nature of their welfare programs for wealth redistribution and behavior modification plans and those sorts of proactive policies. They need a justification for continuing, and unless people have fear and they perceive a perceived need for the state to continue to exist, they might begin to question its existence. So every once in a while, in order to have a power expansion of imperialism, both abroad, and certainly the roots of imperialism at home, they need to have some terrorism or some kind of insecurity happen. And so it wouldn't surprise me, if Tony Blair were behind the bombings, or someone behind Tony Blair were behind the bombings, and the same thing would be true of 9/11 in this country. Now, you may think that's completely outrageous and far-fetched, but from an economics and public policy point of view, it is possible. And certainly from a theological point of view, when we look at the hearts of men, it's possible that such a thing could have occurred. Did it or did it not is the question. That's just a matter of empirical facts. We can surmise from interviews, and we can surmise from collecting the data from the evidence at the site and draw our own conclusions. So I don't think we have enough evidence to make a firm conclusion about London yet. But it wouldn't surprise me if Alex Jones and these others were right about it. If you have a question or comment about this, we'd love to hear from you. 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to run and take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we have more news about terrorism, more stories coming up. Want to discuss this issue even further today. Hope we're not just beating a dead horse. Hope there's some great interest for our listening audience. Before I do that, I want to remind folks that the final meeting of the Institute on the Constitution is going to occur tonight at 6:30 p.m., or actually 7 o'clock. If you can't make it right at 6:30, that's fine. At the South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina, 203 Ina Marie Lane. If you want directions or the phone number on how you can get over to the Institute of the Constitution meeting tonight, go to tyrannyresponse.com. Remember, tyrannyresponse.com has all our audio files and from Liberty Minutes programs. It has links to great institutions, including the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Hope you go and sign that. It takes 30 seconds to do so. I think there's about 170 people so far that have signed it. And we also have links to the current show and past recorded shows of Christian Worldview. Check it out. We also have some products there, such as the videos, the Warriors of Honor video, my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and much more. Make it a stop that you do regularly. Go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and check it out. And tonight, if you can, come out to the Institute on the Constitution meeting in Pelzer, South Carolina. I think you'd be glad you did. We'll have a rousing conversation with one member from Michael Perutka's office handing out diplomas to us participants tonight at 6:30 p.m. in Pelzer, South Carolina at South Point Baptist Church. Well, here's another story from Drew O'Neill, coming up on LouRockwell.com. The right-wing media just don't get it, he says. I turned on the radio to hear the right-wing reaction to the terrorist bombings in London. What I heard was expected. It's the Democrats' fault. It's the Democrats' fault because they dare to voice dissent about the war in Iraq. When will they get it, said Hugh Hewitt, a syndicated right-wing talk show host referring to the Democratic Party. Does this make the renewal of the Patriot Act a moot point? Hewitt continued. No, it doesn't, Hugh. I'll mail you a copy of the U.S. Constitution. Okay. And let me skip down through this article. It's a rather long one. He says, Fox News is in post-terror mode. 2 tablespoons of propaganda, add a dash of fear. But I got to thinking, maybe it's the right-wing media that don't get it. They got us into this war in Iraq, and now they want to make a scapegoat out of the anti-war movement. During the build-up to the war in Iraq, the rabid right-wing launched a jihad on debate, and it was their way or go away. Now they preach to potential converts, and they have diehards in attempt to silence critics of their war on terror. And boy, this isn't any more true than in the church, frankly, folks. Isn't it sad that you could even be tuning over earlier today to the Festival of Ignorance on 6:60 a.m. It's set from 7 to 8. That show is one which features a host that constantly lauds George W. Bush's war in Iraq. Oh, it's what we needed to do to spread democracy through there. Yeah, right. Spreading pure Marxism there if we read the Iraqi Bill of Rights. And, some people just need to die, and this, you know, it's going to happen. It's not inevitable, folks. This is sad news when the Church of Jesus Christ is promoting these kind of insane wars. And that's exactly what you hear in the church as well as otherwise, not just conservative news channels. I guess the church has become somewhat of a puppet of the federal government in many respects. There's a serious threat of global terrorism, he continues in his article, but it's being fought in such an uncalculated manner that is counterproductive to global safety. The dissent of this country is not against catching these murderous criminals. The dissent realizes that Islamic threat is a movement. Somehow the Bush administration can't comprehend this. Once we start treating it like a movement and not a conventional war that you can throw might and bombs at, we will start to make progress. The absolute worst thing to do is fight Islamic terrorism. The worst thing we did was to invade Iraq. Potential converts must have a nationalist rallying cause, and we gave them one by invading Iraq. Anyway, if you listen to the rabid right, he says, the anti-war crowd has no solutions. The anti-war crowd has no ideas. They say and they claim to dissent, that's fine, but what's your solution? If they believe this, then why after the dissent? The first thing they question, our patriotism. Why is it when we voice dissent we become part of the blame America crowd? Maybe they want their jihad and eat it, to have their jihad and have it too. I wish I could come up with a phrase of how much damage I feel the right-wing media and Bush administration have done to this country. I have one right now, but it's an FCC violation. I think it's a sad state of affairs when I fear not the next terrorist attack on our country as much as I fear the frenzy of our media may get us into and the frothing at the mouth jingoism that may result. And we appreciate Drew O'Neill's comment there on criticizing the right wing. Here's another article by Butler Schaefer, Cui Bono Revisited. Cui Bono is not the rock musician who fashions himself mankind's ambassadors to the governments of the world. It is, rather, the question asked when an official was murdered in ancient Rome, who benefited? It is the question gullible minds have long forgotten to ask themselves following politically motivated atrocities. The state saves us the difficulties associated with asking questions and exploring such a question. Following the bombings of the federal building in Oklahoma City, as well as the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center, the political establishment locked most Americans into one explanation, terrorists. It is amazing that for all the criticism heaped upon the so-called intelligence agencies for their failure to anticipate 9/11, federal officials were able to identify the alleged perpetrators of these crimes, complete with photographs of same within hours of the attacks. The state doesn't want disquieting questions to be asked. In fact, it urges the public to remain calm and not to be distressed by destructive events. The state will explain it all in terms that deserve its ends, with no need for minds to be sidetracked by cui bono inquirers into other possible causal factors. Thus, one of President Bush's first acts following 9/11 was to remind people what their minds had already been conditioned to reject, namely conspiracy explanations, that he immediately spouted conspiratorial theories of his own. For example, Axis of Evil, Al-Qaeda, Islamic terrorism did not register in the minds of most, just as one more of this man's glaring contradictions. I subscribe to the sentiments of a friend who said, I am not interested in conspiracy theories, I am interested in the facts of conspiracies. Those who deny outright the existence of conspiracies have a difficult time explaining the events of 9/11. Was there some kind of harmonic convergence that brought about 19 hijackers into these planes without any concerted intentions on their parts? Was it nothing more than a fate, what Middle Easterners would call kismet, that brought these total strangers together that morning to bring about an unplanned orchestration of the deadly and destructive acts? Intelligent minds would reject such an explanation, leaving us to find causation in a conspiracy. But Mr. Bush and all the mindsetters in academia and the media warn us to resist temptations to look for conspiracies for causation, that those who seek such inquiries are paranoid and probable hate-mongers. On the other hand, it is quite acceptable to embrace conspiracies identified by the state. We are listened to only the booming voice of the Great Oz and to pay no attention to that man behind the screen. The question becomes then not whether conspiracies exist, but to who has conspired to bring the massive acts of death and destruction. A beginning point is to ask the question instinctively posed by Romans, cui bono, Who has benefited from these various acts? Such an inquiry does not necessarily provide one with a correct answer, but like the police investigators who focus upon the spouse of a murder victim as the initial suspect, it's the rational way to begin. And who do we begin with? How about George W. Bush? He'll go on and talk about this here, or maybe even Tony Blair. We've been talking about that possibility on the show today several times. Give us a call if you want to discuss it yourselves, 864-201-6955. It's a backup line. Main line is 864-244-8177. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace.
Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Greenville, Spartanburg Airport, and downtown Greenville, as well as Clemson, all checking in at 75 degrees. Anderson up to 77 degrees. All overcast skies everywhere. Today there will be widespread showers and scattered thunderstorms this morning, then numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. So if you're making your way to work still, be prepared for some wet weather today. That's what's on tap for us. I've been mentioning several times to you the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. I encourage you to go there and check out the links regarding the Times Examiner, the Nationalist Times, the First Freedom, as well as the links to the major freedom-loving parties such as the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, Libertarians for Life, that's right, those pro-life libertarians, and Christian Exodus, the Political Cesspool, our sister station in Memphis. And many other links, including the League of the South, Christian Libertarians, and others. I want to particularly point out to you the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, which is on that page. There have currently been about 176 signatures. Republicans and Democrats have signed, as well as, of course, what we expected, libertarians and constitutionalists. Make sure that you go and take 30 seconds to sign this petition today and show your support for our natural or fundamental rights here in America. I'll just read this first part of this, one part out of this petition, which is a redress of grievance asking the legislature to consider a constitutional amendment in South Carolina. Be it resolved that we, the people of South Carolina, hereby declare and affirm that the inalienable rights of life, liberty, property, or the pursuit of happiness set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Fifth Amendment Bill of Rights to the Constitution are fundamental rights which were derived antecedent to the existence of the state as manifest in both the United States, federal government, and the state of South Carolina. As such, the state does not grant rights to life, liberty, or property. On the contrary, the primary reason that government is formed is to protect rights to life, liberty, and property, and no South Carolinian or American holds his fundamental rights at the pleasure of the state. And it goes on to declare that all people, all human beings, have equal rights to life, liberty, and property, and to tell people about the Kelo case, or Kelo, however it's pronounced, that the public interest and public welfare uses for public, for private property are simply not acceptable. Go and sign this petition, stand up for private property rights. If you go to the tyrannyresponse.net website and scroll down under the related media links, you'll find it, the petition link there. You'll also find petitions to abolish the Federal Reserve in the United Nations, citizen petition to reverse Roe versus Wade, a petition to abolish the income tax, and a petition to end United Nations tyranny inside the United States. All interesting stuff. Hope you'll make a visit to tyrannyresponse.net today and sign your name on the petition. Doesn't take long, and it's well worth the effort, I think, at least as a gesture for liberty in our nation. We've been talking about terrorist attacks, and I wanted to mention one other quick story here. Intel analysts, it says Homeland Insecurity, attack on the United States is imminent. Former Israeli agent says government not preparing the citizens correctly. And this is from WorldNetDaily.com. Terrorists will try to carry out an attack on the United States within the next 90 days, a former Israeli counterterrorism intelligence officer predicts. Head of the New York, it's Juval Aviv, head of the New York-based intelligence company Interfor, and a special consultant to the U.S. Congress told Fox News his information is based primarily on intelligence floating in Europe and the Middle East. He says Americans should look to what happened in London and expect mass transportation to be the next target of attack here in America. This time, he emphasized, will not only be in big cities, they're going to also go into the rural areas. They want to send a message to rural America, you're not protected. If you figured out that you just move out of New York and move to Montana or Pittsburgh, you're not immune. We're going to get you wherever we can. It's easier there than in New York. Well, I don't know if they get so much bang for the buck if the terrorist blows up a farmhouse, do they, in some ranch somewhere. I don't know. That sounds a little bit bizarre. Why would you go out of your way to blow up somebody's farm? Especially because you just, it doesn't seem like it gives a lot of appeal unless you just want to increase the amount of fear and resentment among ruralites. Maybe that would do something. I'm not sure, even that. Of course, I'm not sure what difference that between an F-5 tornado or an F-4 tornado and a terrorist bomb is, at any rate. You're probably used to it. They'll probably just go into the basement. I know, I'm just being facetious. They can't go into a basement. They wouldn't even know the bomb's coming. They wouldn't even see the guy pull up in his funny truck and wire the bombs around their farmhouse. Anyway, Aviv believes the Department of Homeland Security can do much more to educate the public on how to deal with terrorist attacks. There's no education, he said. We're raising color code alert, and that means nothing to anyone, whether it's green, yellow, pink. No one ever educated the public how to identify suspicious items or people. Well, I don't know. We're trying to identify tell people how they can identify suspicious items or people. We simply point out the foibles of George Bush and Tony Blair and a few other these people. We can identify. We have reasons to identify these people as terrorists and as evildoers as they are. So I think we do a fairly good job here at Christian Worldview of pointing these kind of people out. In Israel, he noted, many terrorists have been apprehended because citizens phoned in a report. We don't have that kind of training on campuses, schools, or kindergarten in the U.S., he said. That's why the government must enlist the public. Well, I guess what we need to do is add a new curriculum into the public school program. Maybe that'll help. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coven. Time for a quick break once again, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Let's shift gears just a little bit here and cover a few other stories. We've been doing an hour and 45 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes at any rate, on terrorism and the causes of terrorism and who's responsible and so forth. Well, here's something interesting that we have a report here about Jesse Jackson's new staff member, Mel Reynolds. Jesse Jackson has added former Chicago Democrat Congressman Mel Reynolds to Rainbow Push Coalition's payroll. Reynolds was among the 176 criminals excused in President Clinton's last-minute forgiveness spree. Reynolds received a commutation of his 6.5-year federal sentence for 15 convictions of wire fraud, bank fraud, and lies to the Federal Election Commission. He is more notorious, however, for concurrently serving 5 years for sleeping with an underage campaign volunteer. This is a first in American politics, an ex-congressman who had sex with a subordinate, won clemency from a president who had sex with a subordinate, then was hired by a clergyman who had sex with a subordinate. His new job, ready for this? Youth counselor. Is this a great country or what? Oh, I shouldn't laugh. It's really quite right revolting and disgusting, but what can you say? You got Bill Clinton's running around. Of course, looking what George Bush does, regardless of the fact that many Christians believe he's their savior, so to speak. I didn't go that far, but they believe he's an all right good guy, a believer, a brother in Christ, doing the best he can, blah, blah, blah. Folks, as far as his policies go, they're not much different than Bill Clinton's. And there's some evidence to suggest that he may have his own sexual deviancies and perversions as well. Another story. Another question, actually, from somebody. So, should we be surprised that the good news covered in the American Free Press, April 21st, 2002, entitled Get Ready for Sovietization of America, by Al Martin, co-author of The Conspirators, Secrets of an Iran-Contra Insider. Martin's article reveals that the former Russian premier and head of the KGB, the secret police of the Soviet Union, General Yevgeny Primakov, has been hired as a consultant by the Department of Homeland Security. Of interest also, according to article in the April 21st, 2003 issue of the New American entitled Our Enemy, Our Ally by William Norman Grigg, is the fact that Primakov is a close friend of Saddam Hussein. Interesting. If it's true. Well, I don't know if it's true. Somebody's asking me whether or not that's true. I'll throw it out to the listeners. Is it true? Let us know. 864-201-6955, 864-244-8177. This land was your land. Build condos or go to jail. Judge threatening county planners with prison if a development is not okayed. A judge in Maryland is threatening jail time for county planners if they don't approve a 254 townhouse project in a badly congested region despite a shortage of water and a petition signed by 600 residents. What's the point of having commissioners if the county is going to be run by lawyers and judges, Carroll County Commissioner Dean Minish told the Baltimore Sun. All the decisions at this level of these courts seem to be pro-development. It's simple. Go to court and have the judges become the final word on what's best for the county. Judges are becoming too powerful in this country. Yes, we've already seen that, that's for sure. And what does Bork say about that? Robert Bork. I don't expect any of us on this list, I think this came from the Christian Libertarians list, to agree on the substance of Judge Bork's comments. I expect a few to agree. Even in any substantive part, I present it rather as a reminder that, among other things, constitutions are not self-enforcing, and that whatever one may think of the Constitution presently in place, there are real risks involved with letting the ultimate arbiters of constitutional matters make it up as they go. There Will Be Done, How the Supreme Court Sows Moral Anarchy, by Robert Bork. What do the denomination of a replacement for Sandra Day O'Connor constitutional law moral chaos have to do with one another? A good deal more than you think. In Federalist Number 2, John Jay wrote of America that Providence has been pleased to give this one connected country to one united people, a people descended from the same ancestors, speaking the same language, professing the same religion, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and customs. Such a people enjoy the same moral assumptions, the cement that forms a society rather than a cluster of groups. Though Jay's conditions have long been obsolete, till recently Americans did possess a large body of common moral assumptions rooted in our original Anglo-Protestant culture and expressed in law. Now, however, a variety of disintegrating influences are undermining that unanimity. Not least among them is the capture of a constitutional law by an extreme liberationist philosophy. America is becoming a cacophony of voices proclaiming different or no truths. Alexis de Tocqueville observed that if each undertook himself to form his own opinions, to pursue the truth in isolation down paths cleared by him alone, it is not probable that a great number of men would ever unite in common belief. Without common ideas, there is no common action. Without common action, men still exist, but a social body does not. Contrast to Tocqueville with Justices Harry Blackmun and Anthony Kennedy. Justice Blackmun wanted to create a constitutional right to homosexual sodomy because of the asserted moral fact that a person belongs to himself and not to others, nor to society as a whole. Justice Kennedy, writing for six justices, did not invent that right, declaring that the art of constitutional liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, is the right to define one's own and the mystery of human life. Neither of these vaporings has the remotest basis in the actual Constitution, and neither has definable meaning other than that common morality may now be sustained by law if a majority of justices prefer that each individual fellow has his own desires. So Bork is basically saying that judgeships are gone wild here. We don't actually have the rule of law in this country. We have an insanity of demagoguery, or well, maybe not so much demagoguery, it's just pure tyranny. Judges making the rules as they see fit, without being bound by what the Constitution clearly says, as was the case in the Kelo case recently. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Come up to our last break here. We're going to take that, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
I think we'll rapid fire go through a few other stories here towards the last 6 minutes or 7 minutes of the program today. Joseph Wilson on the Bush crowd, he says they're a threat to the real republic. Our real republic. Joseph Wilson, author of The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity. He's claiming that there's not only a Bush cover-up, but there's a scandalous thing going on in Washington, as we didn't know that already. Citizens for a Legitimate Government have published his work and have made very clear that the real victims of the cover-up of President Bush and all that's going on with him and 9/11 and so forth, which may have turned criminal, are the Congress, the Constitution, and most tragically the Americans and Iraqis who have paid the ultimate price for Bush's folly. Interesting. We may want to follow up with that a little bit more. Also have a note that came in by email about from Hunter Putnam, who apparently has had some work done with the Defense Department in the past. He apparently patented a product that allowed for a very lightweight plastic-based shield to be placed on any vehicle, an armored vehicle. Right now, the Humvees are really poor military vehicles because they have doors on them and windows that don't open. And when it's, you know, 120 degrees in the Iraqi desert, they get to 140 inside the car, just about giving everybody a heat stroke. And when they're fired upon, they really have no way to fire back out at them unless they open the doors up. And then the doors are swinging, opening shut, and not really much good for defense. So he invented this armor that would go on there, and the Department of Defense refused to even consider it. Why? Well, the only reason we can see is they like casualties. They like to, that human beings are expendable, apparently, because it'd be very inexpensive relatively to put this thing on there instead of armor plating a car, which makes it so heavy you can't even carry passengers anymore and makes it go down, efficiency-wise, much more. So he's writing in discussing that, and that's an interesting topic. I don't know anything more about it other than that I read his long article, and it sounds like a government mishandling and bungling. It got through the highest levels, almost to the highest levels, and then it just failed at the highest level to get approval in the Army. They're still preferring to allow people to drive around in things that are defenseless, like Humvees. Also, have an announcement about the political cesspool. Guest host Jess Bonds is back on the studio tonight on the cesspool in Memphis. That's at thepoliticalcesspool.com. Guest Corey Burnell, president of Christian Exodus, will be on with them tonight. This organization is sparking a movement of patriots to South Carolina where they intend to take back the Palmetto State, either through political activism or, if God wills, secession. Christian Exodus has been getting major network television coverage, and their first appearance in the political cesspool in April ranks as one of our highest rated shows. So be sure to listen to the political cesspool tonight and listen to Corey Burnell, considered a good friend of mine and somebody I haven't met that recently, only actually by phone. We'll be speaking for him at the Christian Exodus meetings here in Greenville in October. Glad to have them supporting the Tyranny Response Network. Another story we have from Gray Echoes, Nike endorsing homosexual, and the... let's see what it says here. Allstate's firing Christians. According to USA Today, Nike has become the first major corporation to publicly endorse homosexual civil unions, a backdoor move to legalize homosexual marriage. Nike endorsed a bill in their home state of Oregon which would legalize civil unions. Homosexual activists are using the civil union approach as a backdoor approach to legalization of homosexual marriage. Once they get their civil union approved, they will go to court and secure that right to marry. While Vermont and Connecticut have adopted civil unions at the state level, Nike is the first major corporation in America to publicly approve its approach to secure homosexual marriage. Allstate has fired a manager because he expressed his Christian beliefs concerning homosexuality. Matt Barber, as a manager in Allstate's corporate security division, on his own time and without identifying himself as an employee of Allstate, he wrote a column posted on several websites which was critical of same-sex marriage. An outside homosexual group complained to Allstate about the column. Because of their support for the homosexual agenda, Barber was immediately fired and ushered off company property. What a sham. So remember on your hit list, Allstate and Nike. Sounds like they're not necessarily up to anything we particularly like, are they? What else have we got? The American Conservative says the logic of suicide terrorism. It's the occupation, not the fundamentalism. Why do we have a problem with suicide terrorism? It's not because we're their fundamentalist radicals. It's because we're occupying their lands. We've read enough of that stuff today, and the American Conservative likes to point that out to us. The logic of suicide terrorism only occurs when we're occupying as a foreign invader into their country. Brian Morton from the Christian Libertarians list has some other things to say about federalism and the Bill of Rights by telling us about the pros and cons of the Kelo case, or Kelo case. This is from Roderick T. Long, and we appreciate Brian Morton referring Roderick to us. Libertarians are divided over the Supreme Court's decision in Kelo versus New London to allow coerced property transfers in private parties count as public use. No libertarian likes the decision as it stands. The disagreement is over what the court should have done instead. Some think the court should have protected private property owners from this expanded assault, and others think the court should have declined, on federalist grounds, any jurisdiction over eminent domain at the state level. I think this is probably true, and I think the latter is the actually correct thing to do. On the other hand, eminent domain in and of itself is an evil. We need to get rid of eminent domain, or otherwise force the government to pay people whatever they want for their property, and not just give them half of what it's worth in the open market or something. So, interesting commentary on the libertarian thinking about the whole case. And finally, to close the show today, we have a note sent in that says we are currently have $7,782 billion in the national debt. Do we really think this can ever be paid off? This is what you saddle your kids with, a bunch of phony debt run up by these government perpetrators of crime under George Bush and Alan Greenspan and whoever else. So what a way to end the day. It's been a great show today. Glad that you've listened and joined us. Hope to hear from you again tomorrow, and hope you'll be listening tomorrow as we have another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard